From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's down to the wire for White House hopefuls. The national primaries and caucuses are right around the corner. Yesterday, the Republicans faced off in Iowa, and the Democrats go at it today. We've got a couple of political scientists on tap to help us dig deeper. But first, with just 3 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, both the Democrats and Republicans still have multiple candidates who could take first place. Here to bring us up to speed, Ron Elving. He's NPR's senior supervising Washington editor. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Farai. Good to be with you.
So let's get your brief take on the debate. What was the tone, for example?
The tone was subdued. The tone was dignified. The tone was flat, a lot of the debate. It was about 90 minutes long, about 85 to 90 minutes long. And all of the candidates, while several of them tried to break out of it, all of them found themselves constrained by a format and by a very strict moderator who would not really allow them to talk about what they wanted to talk about or talk as long as they wanted. And it made them all a little less animated than we are expecting them to be.
Iowa is a state that has some very specific wants and needs of the populace. Tell us about that.
That was one of the themes of the debate. Was that Iowans are a little different, that they might care about Iraq and immigration, as the moderator, Carolyn Washburn, editor of the Des Moines Register, told us at the beginning, but they care more about other things. So the debate was not to be about Iraq and immigration, which, of course, the candidates were expecting to talk about. It was going to be about other things. It was going to be about debt. It was going to be about government spending. It was going to be about issues that Republicans in Iowa, according at least to the Des Moines Register, cared more about than some of these other national and international questions. So that was where they went, and they talked a lot about how much taxation these candidates felt they could eliminate, how many government jobs these candidates had eliminated whenever they had had an opportunity to do so, how teachers' unions were at fault for what was wrong with the schools, and things of that nature.
Now, when you think about last night, but also more broadly, is anyone really sealing the deal on the Republican side?
No, it does not appeal that anyone. It does not appear that anyone has found the magic key, the Ronald Reagan key, if you will, to bring together the three legs of the Republican coalition, which would be social conservatives, economic conservatives, and what we sometimes call national security or national international strength conservatives, people who want to talk about projecting a very robust foreign policy. All of those groups are still looking to a different champion. And with respect to the social conservatives, while they seem to have recently been coalescing behind Mike Huckabee, there's still a lot of volatility and people are still taking a long look at Mitt Romney.
Now, tell us exactly how the caucuses work. Are they different from a primary?
Quite different in that if you go to a primary, it's just like voting on election day. You walk into your polling place, you pull the lever, or you mark your ballot for whomever you prefer, and you walk out. You may have to wait in line, but at least it's over when it's over. In the caucus situation, quite different. You have to set aside a whole evening, and it's going to be a Thursday night, 3 weeks from tonight, January 3rd in Iowa. You have to set aside that whole evening, go somewhere. It might be a school. It might be some other kind of a public building. And in an auditorium or a large room, gather with people who are like-minded in favor of a particular candidate. You're going to listen to some speeches, and you're going to listen to some people make some pitches, and it's kind of a little bit of a town hall. And then you stand in a group with the people who prefer your candidate. And if you have at least 15% of the folks in the room, then you are, quote, a viable group, a viable caucus. And that means that your person, whomever you're supporting, gets your support, and that gets reported to Des Moines and read out on television and out to the world. If, on the other hand, your candidate is a little below that 15% threshold, your candidate disappears and gets nothing.
Now, how does this set the stage for the following primaries?
If you win in Iowa, you look like the person who is the people's choice, at least in one state for one night. And that is a tremendous boon. It's much stronger than any poll. And in certain cases, it has allowed candidates to vault their way all the way to the nomination. Usually, though, the Iowa choice has to be sorted out against the choices of other states. So we are having New Hampshire this year just 5 days later. It's not clear yet whether New Hampshire will accept the judgment of Iowa. If Iowa, for example, were to dismiss Mitt Romney on the Republican side, who has worked very hard for the Iowa vote, that would probably put a bruise on him, but not cost him his chance to win New Hampshire, where, after all, he was the governor just across the state line in neighboring Massachusetts, where they get their media from. So Mitt could recover there. It's possible that Hillary Clinton could lose Iowa to Barack Obama and still make a comeback in New Hampshire. But it puts a lot of pressure on either of those people if they are to lose Iowa to then bounce back in New Hampshire. And the polls suggest, right now at least, that New Hampshire is paying some attention to what's going on in Iowa and feeling some of the same trends and pressures.
Well, Ron, thanks for the debrief.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
We've been speaking with Ron Elving. He's the supervising senior Washington editor for NPR, joined us from our studios in Washington, D.C.